Okay, here we go.
Get a copy of Sam's speech.
It's there in the bullet. It's on the website. You can see it now.
What, a speech?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, here we go. We're in the Rambam Hilchas Psula Mikdoshim Perek Aleph Halacha Lamed Beis, Chapter 1, Law 32. Yes, 32. Okay, now a very important point. We're going to learn these next couple halachas over here. We've been talking about some of the meat or the fats of the various korbanos go out before they're burnt, if it wrecks up the korban or not. So you got to remember a general rule: kutshei kutshim, the very holy meat. That meat never is meant to ever go out of the azara. It never makes its way out of the azara.
Is that mean for eating?
Is that what that means? You don't eat kutshim. It all goes to Hashem, right? Kutshim as opposed to kutshikalim, whatever. Even if you eat it, it doesn't go out of the azara. Nothing, that animal does not leave, no way, shape, or form, ever. However, kutshikalim, let us say, like a shlumim or something like that, you can take the meat after it's shechted and he's ready. You could take it anywhere you want in Yerushalayim. So you got to understand that. So that's the big difference in kutshikalim and kutshikalim. So now, because of that, many interesting halachas developed because of this.
Does kalim mean simple? What is
light, light. Kutshikalim, the real holy stuff. That's the stuff cannot leave the azara under any circumstances ever. Kutshikalim, the meat, can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So in Lamabez, besar kutshim kalim. So now the lighter form of kutshim. If the meat, sheyotza chutz la'azara, went, you took it out of the reason, for a reason, adizor, but the problem was, kodem zrikas damim, before the blood was sprinkled. Now the sprinkling of blood, that creates the permissibility to eat that meat. But until that blood has been sprinkled, you're not supposed to take that meat out of the azara. Now here's the interesting part though. Afal pi shenizir kadam, even though the Kohen sprinkles the blood for this kutshikalim while v'habosar b'chutz, even though only the meat is outside.
Outside the azara.
Outside of the azara. He took it out. That's what we said. He took it out. And he took it out before the sprinkling, and it's still out while he's sprinkling. Hazevach kosher, the offering is acceptable. Meaning to say, you can now burn the fats that did not go out of the azara, and the owner has been accomplished the goal of the korban. He doesn't have to bring another korban.
How about the meat?
However, he won't be able to eat the meat, the Rambam is going to say in a minute.
Oh,
now, why are we making this exception, though, although the meat was taken out? And here's where we come to that point I raised before. They should so far bustle and say it's because at the end of the day, if he did things right, the meat would have been able to go out of the azara after the blood was sprinkled. Because if we have it, therefore we won't render the animal puzzle, even though the meat is found outside now. So the overall animal will have accomplished its goal. V'hazrika moelas, and what will the sprinkling help? It will help for the emurim, that the fats that did not go out, liyotze lasarfa, that you can now burn those emurim properly. But avololo ochlo, you can't eat the meat. Because once, gotta let it rot and then burn it out. So that, because kutshikalim, that's going to be usher achila because you took it out before the zrika.
Right.
The zrika is the only thing that allows it to be permitted when it's inside. And it wasn't in the azar at the time, so it's not permitted and you can't eat it. And it's got to be just burnt up as a thing that's not up to be eaten. So at least it helped. Even though you didn't do the right thing, but you're able to accomplish a little bit. Similarly, Chlamet Gimel, V'chein Emure Kutshim Kalim. It's the reverse now. Let's say the fats of the Kutshim Kalim that are supposed to be burnt, they went out of the Azara. She also with Nesrikas Damim. Okay, it wasn't, you weren't supposed to do that either. And what happened? V'nizra Kadam, and now you sprinkled the blood. V'chein Bachutz, and there on the outside. Still, lo niv sal hazevach, the korban is not rendered completely puzzle. Okay, and there's an interesting halacha, and it'll work bidi eved, and in other words, the baal was yotze his chov, but you can't burn those emorim either, because
right,
they went out at the time they're not supposed to burn them. Okay, but What if you returned the Amorim before you did the Zrika? Then Makdirma, so then you can burn them. And what say you didn't bring back that meat? So you go, well, I didn't bring back that fats and all that stuff. Well, then it's possible that part isn't effective, so I guess none of the laws of Kachim apply to it. The answer is no. That fat that's outside, Chayom Elam, you could be Chayim Mishum Pigel for having the wrong thoughts of a Korban. Vinoser, if you leave it overnight, Vitome and the laws of Tumah. In other words, he's saying even though you can't burn them, but they still retain the status of Kachim, and all the stringencies that apply to Kachim regarding Pigel, Noser, and Tumah would belong to that as well.
So does it mean you can do something with it or not?
It depends. If you didn't take the meat out, you could certainly eat the meat. The meat would be edible because you didn't take it out, and then the zrika will permit the meat that you didn't take out. Okay,
and
so this
fat, essentially, if you took them out and you kept them out, you now have to let them decay and burn them as well.
You can't do the fat.
You can't burn them.
You can't take them on the mizbeach.
You get rid of it another way. We're not getting into that now. But they're not part of the offering anymore.
Can't put them
but
on the altar.
But since those things would eventually go out, if it would have done things properly, therefore, after the fact, it doesn't take away the effectiveness of the korban. That's the chiddush the Rambam is saying here.
But would the fats normally go out?
No, but since the korban in general can go out, so we've got a little leniency over there.
Okay.
That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Since a part of a kachikam does go out,
that's correct.
So therefore, there's a room for leniency over here.
If you took the fats out and you didn't bring them back, is that an affair?
That's the halak. Of course, it's all not good to mess up a korban. So that's certainly an avera. Lamed aleph. Now, kol hazvachim shel yochid. How about an individual's korban? Bein shenitmer basar, whether the meat became tamei at some time of the service, and therefore you for sure can't eat it. But v'hachelav kayam, but the fats are still okay. Or the opposite, bein shenitmer hachelav, where the chelav became burnt, tamei, and therefore you can't burn the chelav. But v'habasar kayam, but the meat is okay. So you can always zorik es adam. You can sprinkle the blood because the blood has what to affect some fit concluding avoda.
Right.
Remember, the zrika is good to allow you to burn the animal or to eat the animal. So at least you got something for the zrika to work on. But nitmu shnehem, but what if both of them become tamei?
Don't throw, don't zruk.
Okay, we're not talking about taking it out of the zara now. We're talking about a new problem, just tuma. Lo yizruk, you shouldn't sprinkle it. Because there's nothing the sprinkling is going to help. And here comes a brand new Kiddush. Vimzar, but what if you did sprinkle it? Remember, sprinkling only can be done if something good can happen afterwards. Not a guy went and sprinkled it anyway.
There's nothing good to happen afterwards.
But now, Hurtza, the Korban is still going to be accepted. And whatever, you know, let's say if you have to have, we're talking about here, let's say, you'll get kapara, let's say. It works. And here's a big rule. This is, it helps for certain things, not everything.
Right.
It's a rule, shahatzitz meratza al hatuma.
Whoa.
When the Kohen Gadol is wearing that tzitz, he's just walking around the base of Mesh. He ain't doing anything in particular. This is a rule, when a Kohen Gadol wears a tzitz, it brings a good will that Hashem will accept things that would normally not be accepted because they're tamei, b'dievet, they're accepted. We learned that from a pasuk where it says, when it sits is on the forehead of Aaron, and he carries it for the sins of Kachim. And the Gemara explains the sins of Kachim means tuma of Kachim. So that sits on his forehead just by wearing it brings a certain... acceptability, not for everything, but for tuma.
Specific situation.
We came across this once before.
I know, in Sanhedrin, long ago, in the middle of something.
It was something special, because he had it on, it was okay.
That's right, and this is where it is right now. The tzitz maratza for certain things, as long as he's wearing the tzitz, that brings a certain good feeling.
The Kohen's the only one who's doing this rika, right?
Yes, sir.
So would he necessarily know that the guy was tummy, because... Like after
it doesn't matter if he knows or not.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that if the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, it makes it acceptable.
I'm just saying, when he goes to do the zrika, he's already left the other guy behind, and he wouldn't necessarily now have any connection with the guy who's offering it is, that he's doing it for.
Could very well be, but it doesn't matter. If what he did, if the animal was tame, he should not have done the zrika. And if he does the zrika, then b'di'evit, it's okay, because the kohen gadol wearing the tzitz allows it to be good. V'chein ev murim, similar with the fats, or evoreola, or body parts of an ola, shenitmu, that become tame. You should not burn them, because they're tame, but what if you burnt them anyway? V'hitiram, again, hatzitz maratze. The tzitz will make the korban be acceptable. Kamosha, as we explained. And similarly, v'chol korbanos hatzibur, what about congregational korbanos, where we have to be much more lenient for a congregation? There's a lot more leniencies by a congregation, let's say in Tumah. Shenitma ha'basar, where the meat becomes tamei, and v'chelev kulon, even all the chelev,
throw the blood.
Then even lechatchila, hareza zorikes hadam, you can spritch the blood again, because the tzitz is maratza for that as well.
That's
for
like
public korbanos.
Yachid b'dieved.
That's
the,
right.
The,
exactly. So for the tzibor, lechatchila, for the yachid b'dieved. Perfect.
Okay.
Now we move on to the last three halachas of this perek. We're now talking about blood. The blood. Okay? Now, we talked about the animal slaughtered, and you took the meat out of the Azara. We talked about taking the fats out of the Azara. What do you take the blood out of the Azara?
But you need the blood to sprinkle it.
I know, but you put it out anyway. You weren't supposed to, but you did. So dam kachim, shiyatza chutz Azara, dam of kachim that was taken out of the Azara, obviously before the sprinkling happened.
Yeah.
Nivsal, it's rendered pasul hazevach, period, exclamation mark, finished. Okay, and you got to bring another korban.
That's all there is to it. This is not good.
And the af al pi shechazer v'hichniso, even if the kohen will bring it back in, usrokal mizbeach and sprinkles on the mizbeach, lo nirtza, it will not be acceptable.
Oh.
Why? Because blood never can leave the Azara. That's the point. Blood under any korban, any time, is never meant to leave the Azara. And once it goes out of the Azara, you're done.
Oh boy.
We had leniencies by Kutchakalim because parts of it could go out of the Azara. So you finish, there's nothing we can do about this. Okay, but another interesting thing, in general, liquids can be makabel tuma.
Sure.
They can receive tuma, and they can machshir things to be tame. Let's say prepare things. Let's say if water goes on fruits.
Yes.
Now the fruits are susceptible for tumah.
So there's,
I forgot, I think 8 different liquids
yes.
that can go on it.
Definitely.
One of them is blood.
One of them is?
Blood. If blood, and you're happy
water,
with the blood being
milk,
on the apple,
milk,
the apple can now
honey,
contract tumah if a rodent falls on it. So normally blood can be tumah and make something ready to be tumah. The exception coming up is dam of a korban that's been shechted.
Whoa.
If that blood that you have now taken out, I don't care if you're supposed to or not supposed to, but let's just say if a rodent would touch it, could it make the blood tummy?
No.
Or could the blood, if it touches a fruit, make the fruit tummy?
No.
The halacha is going to be no, and we'll see why. Blood of kachim can never contract tuma. Shenemar by dam, because what does it say normally by blood? The blood that can become tummy. The general rule is, it says, Hala oretz tishpachenu kamayim. Blood is something that we spill on the ground like water. And that's how we're comparing blood to water in the event that it can be tame and create tumah.
Right.
But now, it's telling us also what kind of blood can be tame. That tells us, dam shenishpach kamayim, only blood that can be spilled with water, hua nechshav kamayim u'kabel tumah. That's what's considered water that can receive tuma or give or make things ready for it. Avol dam kachim, but dam of kachim, she'ein an ishmael, that's not supposed to be spilled like water. Dam of kachim is supposed to be sprinkled on in his bach, not spilled like water. That's the diuk. Ein a makabel does not receive any tuma. So that's an exception to the rule. Dam kachim cannot be tame.
Whoa.
All right, final halach in Lamed Zayin. Vidam sheshaka v'lov chama. Let's say you have blood, you put it in the receptacle, and for whatever reason, you didn't sprinkle it before the sunset.
Oh,
said,
no.
It was a late Corbin. The guy's getting under the wire. So we'll try our best to get it in before the sun sets. But once the sun sets and the blood's in the ministering vessel,
forget it.
The lo nizrak, and he didn't spritz it. Nivzal hazevach. It's possible, as we said, all the golden rule always, anything in a ministering vessel overnight makes it possible. Vimzarko, and if he sprinched it afterwards, lo hurts, it's not acceptable. It's completely out of the game.
What about if you're in Banish Mashim?
I don't know.
Robbie, the wording here, I don't know if it's improper or not proper English, but...
He says at the setting of the sun. Banish Mashim is after the setting of the
sun. Yeah, I do know. Once the sun sets, you're done. You're right. Thank you, Mark.
The sun sets.
No, that's
the sunset. The sun, between
sunset.
The sunset.
We know what sunset is.
Yeah. But sunset.
That's it. You're
after
out.
After sunset, you haven't sprinkled.
Banish Mashim is puzzle. Okay. Now,
sunset is the guideline. Go. Sorry, Ron.
Okay. So, because he's saying here that, but if they do pass it afterwards, the blood, right?
It's not acceptable.
It says not received with favor.
That means it's not accepted. It means it's not accepted.
Why would that? Actually,
it's low. That's the same thing it said at the end of Lamed Hey. It's not accepted. It means it's not with favor. Every korban is supposed to be favored. If it's not favored, that means it's not accepted. When it says it's not in favor, that means it's not accepted.
Why do they need the word of favor?
That's what it means. When we always call anything that is a kosher korban, it means it's been accepted by Hashem. It's found favor. If you don't find favor, it means Hashem didn't accept it.
That means it's unfavorable.
What?
God didn't find favor.
That's right.
That's what it says.
Hurtza means it did find favor. Lo hurtza means it didn't find favor, and it's not kosher.
Code words.
Okay, now, the second chapter that we're going to begin here is going to be speaking about invalid sprinklings of blood. That is the exciting topic of the second chapter. But, of course, that's assuming that you haven't forgotten
what?
Any of the past halakhos of the proper sprinkling of blood. That's why I'm giving you this sheet of paper. I know it's in Hebrew, but I can't do any better than that.
Okay.
And it briefly, I only thought four guys were going to be here based
okay.
on yes.
I can see that. We're taking it home to bring it back tomorrow. We'll give it back to you.
Whatever. So I'm going to briefly go across this little chart, and we'll just briefly review some of the general rules. And then we're going to find out if you don't do it the right way, when is it b'dieved okay? When is it not b'dieved okay? That's the general rule. So that's what I remember. I told you there were 19 chapters in the Avodah to tell you how to do it right. Now there's 19 chapters of
Sule
Avodah to tell you what happens if you do it wrong. So it just needs just as many chapters. So if you're looking, we'll start on the. From the Aleph, you see the row called Aleph, and the first column are the different types of sprinklings of the blood or placements of the blood, and there's a bunch of different kinds. So you see, for example, just going straight down with the red, you have Zrikas Hadam, sprinkling of the blood, okay, and that gives you the pasuk in the Torah next. It tells you what when you sprinkle. It says Vizorku Es Hadam Al Mizbeach Saviv. And what kind of korban do you sprinkle? An ola, an asham, and a shlamim. That you sprinkle. Now then there's something called nisina sadam, placing the blood. And that's the pasuk that tells you that. We do that with a chatas that's brought outside and a chatas that's brought inside the heichal. We'll explain what this all is in a minute. Then you have hazias hadam. Okay, we'll see what that exactly means. A different type. And that's for a chatas that's brought inside and a chatas of. Then you have shvichas adam, spilling the blood in dalid. And that's for things that are like a shlomim, as we'll see. And then you have mitzui adam, where you're squeezing the blood. And that is only with a bird. Okay, so now let's go to the big column, the last column. It explains what these are. I don't know if we're going to do everything in the column, but just a general idea so you understand what's going on over here. So Zrika Sadam, okay, the first, back to row Aleph. So Zrika Sadam means, Be'olas Asham Eshlamim. When you have an Ola, that's an Asham, and a Shlamim, an Ola and Asham Eshlamim. HaKoin Omer al Ritzbas Azara. The coin stands on the floor of the Azara. Ochez HaMizrebir. He has the bowl of blood in his right hand. And now he takes the bowl, Vizorek, and he, what do you call this? Just tosses it, right? Yeah.
The bowl?
With his hand, this with his hand in the bowl. So the blood jumps out of the bowl and gets to the Mizbeach. Yeah.
It's called spritzing.
All right?
But
he's holding the bowl.
He's holding the bowl. It's not tossed.
He's not throwing
the
bowl.
He's got the bowl here and he's taking the top. And
yeah, let's say this was the bowl. I won't be so graphic.
Okay,
here's the blood in the bowl and I go, you know? And there's different types. So that's going to be on a different one.
Oh, okay.
But this is Zrika. That's why I got to get clear. Zrika Saddam means the blood's in the bowl, and I don't know what a good English word. You're not tossing. It doesn't mean it doesn't go out of your hand.
Splash.
It keeps in your hand.
Splash.
Splashing.
Splash.
Whatever you want to call doing this.
Splashing.
If I would do it, whatever you want to call it, that's Zrika. You give me any English word you like, but that's Zrika. That's what he's standing on the floor. He's holding the bowl in his right hand. He does two tossings, and it's under the midline. Remember the Chut HaSikra was the middle line that went
red
all
line,
around?
The red line.
So it goes under the red line, and he does it on the two kitty corners of the Mizbech. Two equals four. We said that's going to be the northeast and southwest. So when you hit the corner, so the northeast takes care of the north and east side, and the southwest takes care of the south and west side. That's called two, which is four.
Yeah.
So that's regular Zrikas Damim, four in Ola, two flicks. But he's got to flick it in a way it's at the corner, so it hits both sides.
He's got a good aim.
Not only that, but you need
to he can be right next, pretty close to it, so he should have a good aim. Maybe they were practicing. You know, they practiced for 23 weeks.
Blood tossing.
You know, they take water, probably practice with water
red
and bowls
water,
to
red
make
water,
sure,
red
you know.
Water, yeah.
Anyway, so that
not
is for an Ola, Asham, and Shlomim. Okay, now, Nesina Saddam, what's that mean? That's with a Chatas Chitzonis, that's let's say the Chatas that's on the outer Mizbeach. HaKoin Ola Sov, the coin goes on to the Sovev, that's the part that
the
goes...
Ramp, the little ramp below.
The mid-ramp.
The midline, yeah.
The midline ramp.
Mid-level ramp.
Pona Liamino, he turns to his right. Al Karen Asmucha, to the corner that's to his right. Ochez HaMizr Gismol, he holds the bowl in his left hand. Tova Letzpoyva, he puts his right hand into the bowl, Bidam. Okay? V'nosein Benachas, and gently, with his fingers, he smears it on to the Chud Pinas Dalet Karnesvech, to the four corners of the Mizbech. He does it four times, one on one, one on another, one on another.
One
so he just he dips it on and just puts it on to Mizbech. Very gently, he puts it on the corner of all four corners of the Mizbech.
Finger painting.
Okay? And he gets it from up to down until all the blood leaves his finger.
There's no fire on it.
There's plenty of fire. We're not worried about the fire. Okay? So he's got the two fingers on the two sides. He's got his blood in here, and he goes, like that, on all four sides.
This is like stone walls we're talking about?
Yes. Howard, we're not going back to old stuff, okay? I can't keep reviewing it, right? We're just talking about the Zrika. No. He does this four times.
Exactly.
He does it four times on this one.
Each corner.
Every corner. Every corner.
Four corners.
You said there's a corner with
No.
He goes
right
on each corner. All right? All right. So I don't know. But then the chatis apnimis, but in the inner, with the chatis that's brought inside the heichol, you sprinkle. Hakoi nechas aheichol, koi goes aheichol, omeid ben amizbech. He stands between the mizbech and the smaller mizbech and the menorah. Umizbech lefanav, and the mizbech is in front of him. Ochez hamizrek bismol. He takes the bowl in his left hand. Tov Letzpoyv takes his right hand into the blood, and again he puts gently his finger on the northeast side, and then he goes around all four corners as well.
Of the golden Mizbech.
So he does by both Mizbechs the same thing. He puts his finger in there and goes like that on all four sides. So there's big differences. It's not just the kitty corners, it's all four corners.
Yeah.
He's not spritzing, he's just that's called Nesina, placing dam. Okay, third one is called Hazia Saddam. What's Hazia Saddam? And this is also with an inner chatas and with a chatas of. So with the inner chatas, hakoyin nichlas ahechel, he goes in the hechel, o kodesh hakadoshim, oches hamizrigasol, he takes the bowl in his left hand, tov letzva yamanis bedam, he puts his finger in the blood, and now what he does, he sprinkles seven or eight times like this. That's the one you were thinking of. So that's called hazayah sadam. That's sprinkling from the fingers. Okay?
What's the word hazayah mean?
To sprinkle. Okay, with the fingers, it's like that. So you already have three different ways of moving the blood out of the bowl by whatever you want to call that.
And one with splashing.
But one where he's not spritzing, he's just
finger painting.
Doing that, right?
Finger painting.
A chatas ha'of, on the other hand, a bird chatas, a coin omid al ritzvah, so he stands on the floor of the Azara, opposite the southwest corner. And he holds the blood in the bird in his right hand, and he takes it above, and he squeezes it, towards the wall of the mizbeach below the chutasikra, and he puts and the blood spritzes on the wall of the mizbeach. He brings it up and down. He holds it, brings it up and down with force, like that.
But he's not touching the bird
to
the wall, is he?
No, and it just goes out from the bird and it touches the wall. Okay, now, but this, where the blood's coming from the bird, not from the bowl.
Yeah.
Not from
the bird's the bowl.
Exactly. Okay, now, the fourth one is called Shvicha Sadam, pouring the blood. Okay, what's that? Don't for things that are like shlomim, but not actually shlomim, which is a bechor, or meiser, or korban pesach. All right, that's, we have this. What do you do? That coin, omid al risa, you stand on the floor, that's our, okay, so maybe you hold the bowl in your right hand. Now, you bring the bowl close to the wall of the mizbeach, you walk over to the wall of the mizbeach, and just pour the bowl gently on the wall over the yesod. Remember, the yesod is the bottom little corner over there, that little lip that comes out from the bottom. Remember what the yisod was?
Is that where they kept the
No, they didn't keep nothing.
So
it's
the
just
bottom.
Part of the mizbeach.
It's a little ledge at the bottom.
Have a good picture. It's right the there. Bottom ledge. Oh, right here.
It's a little ledge.
See this
at
little
the bottom.
Blue? The little blue. Yeah. That's the last little ledge over there. She's just pouring it. It's just like a lip right. On the ground. It doesn't go on all on two sides. Two and a little more.
So where does it end up? On a spider on the ground?
No. On the ledge.
On the ledge itself.
I don't care where it goes afterwards. It doesn't matter. Who cares? The main thing is you are bringing it to the wall. You pour it gently onto the wall where there's yesod. So it's not on the yesod. If you pour it onto the wall, it drips down onto the yesod. Okay? Now there's a second part where you also pour the leftover stuff from all karbonis. What do you do with all karbonis with leftover blood in the bowl? He says the same thing. After the coin did whatever other sprinkling he had to do, and now he has leftovers, he pours the leftovers, the same thing, onto the yesod of the mizbeach, and it just drips. So there's pouring. So now we've got a lot of different things. We've got doing that with the bowl. You got this with your fingers. You got this with your fingers. And then you've got the taking the bird like that from the bird blood, and then you got just pouring the bowl
right,
down. Pouring. And the fifth one, mitzri adam, is squitching the blood, right? But olas ov, last one with the bird, hakoin olas ov, if he comes to sov lekaren drum mizrach to the southeastern part, he has the bird in his right hand. He now is molekid. He rips the cuts off the neck. And then he presses it with strength, the bird, right into the wall of the mizbeach, and the blood just comes right out and just goes down the wall. Then he separates the head completely from the bird, and then he again presses the head alone to the mizbeach. That's more of what we call a kvetching.
I wonder if you have a visual of that.
Okay, and the chatzof similar to that. So it comes out. It comes out, we've got a lot of different ways of getting the blood onto the mizbeach, and then there's different amount of times you're sprinkling. You've got sprinkling the two kitty corners is one type of sprinkling. Then you want to put on all four walls is a kind of sprinkling. And then there's one just putting on one, and it goes down. Yeah. So that's the general way it's supposed to be done with this little introduction. tomorrow we'll start, and then we'll say what happens when you do it wrong. At least we know what's right. So now we know what's wrong, and we'll see what b'di'evet works.